you in so-called midlife and found yourself suddenly single after probably years of marriage and you're absolutely shitting it? Maybe you're on a divorce downer and have zero idea how the fuck to move on. Or you know how to in theory, but it's just not happening. If that's you, you're in the right place. This is the Divorce Chapter podcast, where we turn the unexpected divorce plot twist into a new and improved happily ever after. I'm Sarah Elizabeth, divorce coach and mentor, and I'm with you on this mission to rewrite our stories and make this next chapter the best goddamn one yet. Struggling with loneliness after divorce? Do you absolutely hate being on your own, so much so you do anything to avoid it? Maybe you're dreading the long Easter weekend coming up in a couple of weeks. I get it. I mean, there's so much to it. You find yourself on your own so much now after years of having someone there. Even if that person ended up being a complete arsehole, it was someone. Sleeping too, suddenly learning to sleep on your own in a big cold bed feels fucking horrible. And separation from your ex might also bring with it separation from your children. Either them having contact time with your ex or else they're older now and so making their own way, which means chucking the whole empty nest thing on top of an already whole life change. You might have had to move home and maybe to a new area too. And as well as a breakup with your ex, this could also have meant breakups with friends or family, as sides often get taken, which also can mean joint invitations disappear. And if you do get invited anywhere now, going solo can be bloody terrifying. So it's hardly surprising then when all of this weighs down on us as such intense loneliness. Like, is it really such a surprise when you add all that shit together? It's a lot. And for all the reasons I just said, maybe more. It's so common after divorce to feel like this. And that's why this week I thought I would focus on some tips and thoughts and just some stuff to maybe help you work through it a bit. First up, though, I do just want to distinguish between feeling lonely and being alone, because actually they aren't the same. Being on your own does not mean you have to feel lonelier. In all honesty, there were times in that last year of my marriage when I felt the loneliest I ever have done. He was there, but the feeling I got from the relationship was pure loneliness. Maybe you too have felt times at social events where you feel like you're in some sort of bubble or something and can't quite reach other people. It's a horrible feeling. And the core of it all is that we are wired for connection. We are social creatures. And that comes back to our roots. Think back to when we were all living in caves as part of a tribe. Everyone had their place, and it would have been the worst thing ever to get chucked out of your tribe, because it would have almost likely resulted in death, either from an animal or another tribe. It was far safer to be part of a tribe than out in the wilderness on your dod. And we know our brain's job is to keep us safe, right? Our brains are pretty primitive and haven't quite moved on. You know, like iPhones are upgraded every couple of years. Yeah, that same shit hasn't happened in our brains. We need to feel safe. And that means belonging somehow. It's a throwback from tribal times. Only now, being out there alone doesn't mean you're going to get eaten by a lion or attacked by another tribe. It's safe now to be on your own. It's just our brains haven't quite got the memo. And that's also partly because of what we have made being on our own mean. How we perceive loneliness. When we've been in a long marriage and always slept with someone, lived with someone, even had someone doing the so-called blue jobs like fixing things and putting the stinky bins out. It's fucking weird then doing shit on your own, having to rely on yourself. It makes us feel somehow that it's wrong. It's kind of the general perception that being alone is bad though, right? Think of some of the sayings like Billy No Mates or Lone Wolf. They sound a bit sad. Just words too. Many of the words used to describe being on your own, like hermit, isolated, partnerless, abandoned. They're all shitty words. I know I'm a real life thesaurus over here. I know. Only there are such positive ones too, like independent, liberated, free thinking, unfettered. I like that one. Unfettered. I'm unfettered. But we don't tend to think like those ones. We automatically jump in the negative. And it's made worse by judgment from others who also think of solo as shit. It's kind of society's expectations though, right? The old Disney diet again. We have to be one half of a couple. We have to be rescued by a prince. Otherwise, we're somehow unworthy, like an ugly sister or something. Everything's set for twos as well, like restaurants, holidays. It doesn't help when we're trying our goddamn hardest to adapt to this single life. And even with our family and friends, they don't get it. They try to include you, like you're a saddo, third wheel and all that. Married mates will never understand what it's like. They never get it. So even when they try and include you, maybe in the early days, after a while it soon drifts off, you know, because we really should be over it by now or some bullshit. Or worse, they try and set you up with one of their mates when you're really not ready. Because, you know, it's only hashtag normal when we're in a relationship. People don't know what to do with our single ones. Like, we mess up the numbers or something. So other people add that extra weight or burden of the implication that being on your own is not okay. Which, when we're already feeling all the feels, just doesn't freaking help us. We're basically told that being single is shit. And again, hardly freaking surprising that we believe that and believe that that must mean lonely. And so it's important we do recognise when it's felt as negative and understand why we hate it so much. Because we almost expect that it must mean lonely. And let's be honest, all the stats are out there about the impact of loneliness on both our physical health as well as our mental health. It is a thing. I get it. It's a thing. And the impact of COVID emphasised this too, just how much impact the lockdowns had, especially on people living on their own. And, you know, look, I definitely struggled to start off with the panny D and stuff, even though I love being single. At the start, my team at work looked to me for answers on what to do. And I was like, I don't fucking know. I'm in this too. And worse, I'm the only one out of you fuckers who lives on my own. They didn't think of me, did they? But I quickly got over that, especially once I could bubble with the grandkids. And actually, I was a bit secretly pissed off when the life returned to normal. Anyway, but I'd also had a good few years single and by and large, I'd adapted to it by then and I didn't feel lonely on my own. But then I was also leading a freaking busy life too. And so when COVID hit, it forced me to really, really be alone. And I wonder if there's an element sometimes that perhaps it isn't so much that we fear being lonely or fear being alone even, but maybe it's that we fear having to face ourselves when we are on our own. Often as a wife, it's entirely possible that life kept us pretty busy. There was always someone there, something to do, someone to talk to, distractions. We weren't often alone with our thoughts. And somehow over the years, we've learned that being alone with our thoughts is not a good thing. Because then all the thoughts start in our head, our inner shitty voice. Mine's called Margot, which was fine until my friend named her Kid It. Anyway, you know, like we think shit like, I'm always going to be on my own. The silence is shit. I hate having no one to talk to. But remember, we think these things, but we are not our thoughts. We have the power to change our thoughts. We really do. Which means we can learn to reframe being on our own as being a potential positive and away from the lonely. We don't have to make being on our own automatically equate to lonely. Feel the feels, of course. But as I always say, just don't get stuck there. Hello, it's still me, but I'm just coming in here really quickly to let you know about a new freebie I've got for you. Beyond Breakup, the 10 must-read divorce books. So if you're going through a divorce and love reading, but have no idea where to start in this new genre of books you found yourself in, take a look at my free guide. It's like having an on-hand librarian, my love. The link's in the show notes, so have a click. And now, back to the episode. So what are some ways then that we can start to shift from feeling so lonely and begin to tolerate our own space even? Well, first up, plan ahead. It's important to have some balance, right? Because we are wired for connection. So plan ahead on times like weekends when it feels like a lot of time to feel. So I'm going to start with a couple that do revolve around other humans, as I think that's a stepping stone at least for when you are newly solo and getting to grips with it all. So keeping in touch, can you arrange to see friends or family face to face or FaceTime or call them? Taking control of the situation and scheduling in friends and fam dates can really help. Because as I said, married peeps really don't get it. They're still balls deep in their busy lives. So we need to take control and book things in rather than wait to be asked and then feel sorry for ourselves when nothing happens. Yes, I see you. There's also an organisation called Meetup. And no, it's not a dating app. It's organised fun for whatever floats your boat. There's running groups, there's cinema nights, golf, gaming, meditation. There's tons of groups, events, activities, all the shit on there. All for people on their own to meet like-minded others. So plan that in too, if that helps, for meeting up. Or maybe helping others or volunteering might be something to fill your time and give you a bit of meaning. Google volunteering near me and shitloads comes up. Wherever you are, shitloads will come up. It might even give you a bit of an opportunity to test out a possible new job or career options. Domestic abuse charities, for example, always need volunteers. As does Homestart to help families in need or animals. Ever think about what you enjoy and see if there's anything out there. Because honestly, with weekends, I know they feel like they're 3 weeks of emptiness when you're newly on your own. So planning ahead and having a schedule around people can really help. But what about when there aren't other people to connect with and we really are on our own? What then? You know, well, sometimes we do need to learn to manage it and not seek the companionship or people externally. Sometimes they might not be available or maybe you haven't planned anything. But either way, that's okay. Because ultimately, this is about learning to accept our own space without feeling so lonely, right? And this is also where routines and habits come into play. Maybe you had a Sunday routine with your ex, for example. I definitely did. And I think sometimes that adjustment to a new routine is one of the hardest things because it's new, it's uncomfortable. And again, our brains like safety, and change doesn't always feel safe. So it's about taking small steps to create new routines that become our new habits. Maybe it's that you start a new routine of taking yourself out for a nice Sunday brunch or lunch. Yes, you might feel a bit conspicuous at first, but take a book and take some deep breaths and give it a go. You might even find it's not so bad. Or have you a hobby? It might be something you haven't done for years, but think back to things you've tried over the years and ones that you've totally enjoyed at the time. Maybe it's a sport or something like sewing or knitting, I don't know. But you know, actually, sometimes things like sewing or whatever can be really therapeutic because they're mindful activities, as in when you're doing them, you have to focus on the here and now, which means you can't be overthinking being on your own or ruminating over your ex or worrying about tomorrow. I bought a sweary colouring book and pens for a friend who was going through a tough time. They're great things for mindfulness. And so, also, therefore, managing overwhelming feelings. The silence can be hard too, though, right? When you're so used to the hustle and bustle of everyday family life and you're suddenly on your own, the silence can be deafening, as the saying goes. I, for one, actually, though, love a bit of silence. Too much noise overwhelms me, conversely. But I also get it that silence is hard, particularly at the start. And podcasts are great for this, as it's someone talking, so it feels like someone's with you. And you're more than welcome to play the Divorce Chapter podcast on repeat if you like. I don't mind. Seriously, podcasts, radio, just some music. Not sad, I miss you songs, though. Create a playlist of high vibe tunes that when you hear them get you wanting to dance. And on that note, another tip to help managing the feelings of loneliness when they crop up is to move your body. Turn that negative energy in your body into positive energy, and dancing's great for that. Or running if that's your bag. I mean, I only run if someone's chasing me, but you know. Yoga, again, it's great for mindfulness, and there's loads on YouTube to be able to do this. Or just a good old walk in fresh air, which brings me on to getting outside. A walk in the fresh air is truly such wonderful medicine for all sorts of shit. I chuck a podcast in my AirPods and just walk, usually stopping for an oat milk latte on the way. It's definitely my therapy. And honestly, there's so much research about sunlight and getting outside and vitamin D, and low vitamin D also contributes to low mood. So it's a goddamn thing. Do think about getting out in the daylight as much as you can. And if you have a dog, even better. But pets generally are amazing for loneliness too, because they're such good companions. And dogs particularly are so loyal, more reliable than any human, in my opinion. So pets are great for loneliness. They really are. I mean, I'm more doggy than cats, but whatever works for you. I had a tortoise as well, or two. That's a whole nother story. We won't talk about that today. Another tip for managing loneliness is learning. Now, that may be a new hobby again, or maybe there's something else you've always fancied giving a go. I used to play the clarinet when I was at school, but actually, I always love the sound of a sax. And I'd love to learn that at some point. I also like to pick up Spanish again because I used to speak it fluently and now I can't remember fuck all except the very basics. You know, you get the idea. They're both on my list for when I get some time and ideally neighbours who could tolerate the noise of the sax. But if you do have some time and that you don't want to be alone, and if there is something you've always fancied learning, why not give it a go? It was actually in the isolation, early isolation of the COVID pandemic, I trained as a coach. So even potentially something could lead to a new vocation even. Or maybe instead of a class like that, what about a meditation class or something which will give you a double whammy of learning class style with relaxation chucked in? Scheduling and filling your time with something that benefits you physically and mentally has to be a winner, no? As is all self-care. And I know that's an easy fallback, but honestly, because it's something that is deserved. We treat it as though it's a reward when actually it should be a core part of our lives and is often lost in the chaos of a divorce and all. Self-care was probably a big part of a post I wrote about 50 things to do alone. I think it probably do much to read them all here. And I'll put a link in the show notes if you do want to see them. But I picked some of them out for my notes. So some of them are read a book, download a box set, journal. We love a journal. Watch a TED talk, be a bit inspired. Plan some new recipes, things you've never cooked before. Sort your photos into albums. Decorate. Do a random act of kindness. That's always fun. I like doing that. Get your makeup done at a makeup counter. Do a jigsaw. They're always good for mindfulness as well. Pinterest a vision board once you've got your vision after last week's episode. Bake a cake. Actually, you know what? Whilst I'm on lists, maybe now is the time to start a divorce bucket list. Is there some shit that you've always secretly fancied doing but never had the time or space? Why not now? It doesn't have to be big stuff like, I don't know, chucking yourself out of a plane. No, that is definitely not on my bucket list. Might be on yours though. Maybe after the last couple of weeks' episodes about creating a vision, maybe travel and adventure made the cut and you could focus on creating itineraries and reading guidebooks and stuff to plan it all out. This is all about making that transition from one half of a couple to being on your own and not feeling lonely. It might be a step too far to really enjoy your own company without something to do. But remember, we're human beings, not human doings. Be, not do. But this is about making that transition. And with that transition comes that shift from lonely to just being on your own and it being okay. And also, I know I said this on one of the vision episodes too, but please, please, please don't be scrolling social media, looking at happy families and shit and end up feeling even worse. Remember that by and large, people only post them living their best goddamn lives. But in reality, it's probably less than 5% of their actual lives. Get to know your triggers. It does take a lot of work and a lot of time. But honestly, when you get to the point where you accept your own space and maybe even embrace it, it's magical. And remember too, to date yourself and romanticize your life. Start to look at everyday moments with starry eyes and walk around as though you're the main character in a Hollywood movie. That energy is infectious and will definitely turn the negative energy of lonely into something maybe even exciting. And I know I bang on about this, but because it's a key factor in learning to love being on your own. And keep reminding yourself that you get to do shit now too. Like having cereal for dinner or just dancing around your kitchen, you get to do that. Stuff I bet you never did whilst you were married, right? You get to do what the fuck you want when you want to do it. I bloody love being on my own now and being able to do that. Honestly, I do. And I do realise I may be a bit of an anomaly. And it does come bit by bit. But if we can start to try to be a little bit more positive about being on our own, it's a start. I hope I've helped you today to at least start to recognise that feeling lonely isn't, it really isn't an automatic outcome of being on your own. And to see that often this is just part of our programming that we have believed that being on your own must equal lonely, which married people tend to substantiate for us. And that just does not have to be the case. we can learn to accept, enjoy our own company and make it work for us rather than keep fighting against it. It's no magic wand, but hopefully some of the tips I've talked through today will help, whether that's learning something, planning your time with meetups, self-care, volunteering, listening to podcasts, moving your body and getting out in fresh air and getting a pet, habits, hobbies, or anything off the 50 things to do list. If all else fails, join a book club, like the Divorce Book Club. Oh, that is an ad. But in all seriousness, definitely the Divorce Book Club will be good for you if you are looking to be part of a community and help your healing in the process. I'm still getting there on the tech, but I'm hoping to be in place to be good to go, hopefully starting in May, fingers crossed, everything crossed. Until then, please try and take on board some of the tips from today. And if only as a test, just maybe try and enjoy doing something on your own. Just one of the things. See how you get on. And if you do go out doing shit on your own, please do tag me in the socials. Showing everyone else how doing your thing can be such a good thing. I'd love for you to get to a place where you can at least tolerate your own company, eh? So that's all for me from this week. Thank you, as always, for keep coming back. And if you're new here, thank you for getting here. And I hope I made you feel a little less lonely today. I'll be back in your beautiful earbuds again next week. So until then, I am sending you so much love from me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Divorce Chapter Podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, please could you do your girl a solid and rate and review the podcast. Wherever you listen, there should be an option to rate and review. And honestly, I can't tell you just how much it helps the podcast algorithm, thingamajigs, whatever. And bonus love for me, if you share the episode with your friends and on your socials and tag me in it at the Divorce Chapter. Thank you again so very, very much. I appreciate every single one of you beautiful humans. Have an amazing day.